Welcome to the Daily Devotion with Pastor Terry Reynolds.
Thank you for joining me again today. We're in Psalm 119, verse 137. Listen as the psalmist describes the Lord. We read, "Righteous art thou, O Lord, and upright are thy judgment." What a beautiful way to describe who God is that he's righteous and he's upright. Speaking of his judgments, so beautiful. You know, this idea of being upright is another way of saying he's right in what he's doing. He's innocent, there's that sense of innocency about his judgments. They're so pure. And there are those who would say to be upright is to be straight in what he says. And, you know, we so often say that somebody's a straight shooter. You can count on his words and you can count on what he says. Of course, that's taking a look at it from a human perspective. But when you're talking about the character of God, and which we see here in this verse, to know that God is upright. He doesn't waver from who he is, dependent upon how we respond or don't respond. And he stays true in commitment to his word. Boy, isn't that so important for us this day? To know that as you look at that word righteousness, it's just another way of saying things that are right. You know, it goes across the borders of justice and everything that you can imagine, everything that's right in this world, or anything that you can see that is right, really is a picture of who God is. It's a reflection of who he is. And I think that we need to make sure that we honor God as being a righteous God. And truly, he is the only righteous God that there is. And that's why Moses, when he came encounter with God, and as he went up to that burning bush, and the Lord spoke to Moses and says, "Moses, take your shoes off or take your sandals off, or the place that you tread or the ground that you're walking upon is holy ground." Because what God was saying to Moses, he says, "I'm different. I am holy. I am righteous. I am upright." Unfortunately, we're not. That's where we see the need, the great need for God in our lives, in order that he might transform us, that he might change us, that we might be more like him. I think of our society, and it's hard for me to say, well, that man's a righteous man. That man's an upright man, especially as we look at our not only our government, but our school systems and business and wherever we have, whatever we see, it's hard to find people who are doing things that are right, doing things that are upright before God and then following his teaching, because that requires us to deny ourselves. It requires us to seek the Lord. It requires us to humbly walk with our fellow man. And so the problem is that there's that tendency not wanting to deny ourselves. Paul was so careful in his teachings that he realized that to walk with God and to do things that God would have us to do requires of us each and every day for us to deny ourselves. I find it's interesting when you read through Romans chapter 7. As you go through Romans chapter 7, all you're hearing Paul says is I cannot. I failed. I've been miserable. I want to do things that are right, but I haven't been able to do it. Well, when you get to Romans chapter 8, what you see is a difference in his attitude. Romans chapter 7 is a life that's self-governed, a life that ends up in failure. Romans chapter 8, he cries out. He cries out and he says, "I can't do it myself. I've tried. I've failed. Who shall deliver me?" And the answer is, as he says in Romans chapter 8, that "thank be unto God that through Jesus Christ we have the victory." See, when we look to the Lord, we look to the Lord each and every day, and we discover our victory in Him, then we too can walk in the righteousness of God. We too can experience that uprightness, the uprightness of thought and action as we seek the Lord. I think it's so beautiful where Jesus said to us, His disciples, or those who would follow after Him, He says, "And whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever loses his life for my sake shall find it." You know, then He asks, what is the profit of man, or what is a man's profit if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul, or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Well, now if you can have anything, of course, that's kind of what the Lord is saying. If you could have the whole world, would you take that in exchange for your soul? As far as God is concerned, your soul is worth more than the whole world. As far as God is concerned, if you were to offer the whole world and train for your soul, He wouldn't take it. He's trying to tell us that the things that are of this world that we seem to live for are bad. It's a bad deal. Really, your soul is eternal. The world's going to pass away. The world, the lust thereof, they're all going to pass away. But your soul is eternal. If you're living for yourself, rather than seek to live as God would have us to live, you're training, really what you're doing is you're trading your eternal soul for something that's just going to pass away. As far as the Lord is concerned, that's a bad deal. Then the question, what shall man give in exchange for his soul? Or what would it take for your soul? Well, Jesus did that work for us, didn't He? He did it for us on the cross, willing to die for us, that we might have, and this is the beautiful thing, that He might impute His righteousness upon us, that we might be able to experience His righteousness within our life. The psalmist cried out, "Righteous art Thou." He knew he wasn't righteous. He says, "O Lord, and upright are Thy judgments." He says, "The things that You do are right." The problem is I fall so short. And I'm so glad that we have a Savior, Jesus Christ, and that we can know the righteous God, and we can walk with Him each and every day. In Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 4, we read, "He is the rock. His work is what? Perfect. For all His ways are judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity, just and righteous is He." That's who He is. And later on we read in Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 33, he says, "Howbeit thou art just in all that is brought upon us, for thou hast done right, but we have done wickedly." As we look upon the judgments of God, and certainly they were talking about there as they were in now in Babylon, because of the rebellion against God, and they're confessing as they're looking up this beautiful prayer of Daniel, there in Nehemiah chapter 9, is his confession, praying. He says, "Lord, our ways haven't been right. We've done wickedly." And I pray that we would confess our sins before the Lord, not just for ourselves, which we certainly should do, but our sins for even within the churches, within our nation, that we would call upon the Lord and just say, "Lord, we've done wickedly, and that we haven't followed the righteous God, and we haven't been taken heed to Your judgments that are upright." And Father, we pray now, as we confess our sin before You, Lord, that You would forgive. Not only would You heal us, but You would heal our land. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Until next time, this is Pastor Terry. May God richly bless you. P.O. Box 4023, Huntington Beach, California, 92647. May God richly bless you.